Hey, folks, thanks for tuning back into the Eye on College Football podcast. It's that time of the week where I gather together with my blog brethren, Mr. Tom Fornelli, Mr. Jerry Hennin, and we take a look at some of the tasty, tasty lines that await us in the coming weekend. We're right here. We've got two bowl games in the rear view and a slate. I guess we're going to go sort of on both sides of Christmas Day, the Christmas week slate. From the Poinsettia Bowl all the way till the Little Caesars Bowl. We're going to break down every single one of these games against the spread. Tom and Jerry give their picks, and then I will pitch each one of them an odd prop bet, just something that I come up with, and we'll see if it helps us get a better understanding of the game. So first, Tom, Jerry, gentlemen, welcome back to the Weekend Picks panel.
It's great to be back.
It is. I'm disappointed we didn't do one of these for championship week where what's the current 5-for-fighting standings here?
It's 6-5 or it's close.
I think it's a one game difference, which is a shame. Like we totally should have done one of these. Like I realize, Chip, we had a thousand things going on with the Big East brouhaha and coaching searches and all of that kind of stuff. But I just want to say this for the record, that I went 8-2 that championship week, and I would be ahead in our 5-for-fighting head-to-head matchup with Tom Fornelli if we had done the picks that week. There, I just have to get that off my chest.
Hey, man, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
All right, let's go ahead and kick things off with the Poinsettia Bowl. Poinsettia or Poinsettia?
I've always said Poinsettia.
Yeah. All right, well, we got BYU.
Even if Poinsettia is correct, no one's going to say that.
Poinsettia?
Beautiful red flower bowl.
People who say Poinsettia are correct.
If you say Poinsettia, you have to lift your pinky when you sip your teacup and munch on your finger foods.
You're kind of an obnoxious prick, I think, if you're correcting people on how to say Poinsettia.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, we got the pronunciation down. Poinsettia Bowl, BYU, San Diego State. Obviously, this is a San Diego State team. They get a share of the Mountain West title. BYU comes in the game. They played after, you know, getting used to this whole independent deal, had some ups and downs. Great, great defensive team in BYU. Fantastic rushing defense. San Diego State, very good rushing offense behind Adam Uwema. Dingwell comes in and takes over after Katz goes down with an ankle injury. The way that we picked this game, BYU was a 3.5-point favorite. I'm going to start with you, Jerry. How did you pick this game and why?
I've got BYU minus the 3.5. I try to pick underdogs in bowl games just because I generally think the underdogs are the more motivated teams, and they have a pretty good track record of covering the spread in bowl games. But I didn't do it this time. Even though San Diego State's basically playing at home, the game's in San Diego. But I just think BYU is the better team. I think of the four units on the field, BYU's defense is pretty clear-cut the best one that's going to be out there. Linebacker Kyle Van Noy, their defensive end, whose name I'm going to butcher, Ansa or something like that, who was like an honorable mention on Pro Football, the Pro Football, like Pro Prospects All-American team. He was an honorable mention there. Really, really, you know, frightening, powerful pass rusher. BYU, their defense has those kind of players. I don't necessarily see them there for San Diego State. I like the Cougars.
Tom?
I took San Diego State. Jerry's right. The best unit in this game is BYU's defense and that run defense. And like we said earlier this week, the run defense of BYU versus San Diego State's rush offense was one of the things that draws me to actually want to watch this game. But I took the Aztecs just because, you know, they're hot. If you look at it, even with the layoff between the bowl games, they've won their last seven games. And, you know, they're getting 3.5 points for what is really a home game for them. They're playing in the same stadium they play their home games in. So, bowl game or not, they're underdogs at home is the way I look at it. So I'm definitely going to take those points. And even though BYU's defense is good, I don't think it's so great that it's going to keep San Diego State off the scoreboard. And I just really don't have a lot of faith in BYU's offense to score enough points where I want to give up points for them in what is essentially a road game.
All right, now let's go to our odd props. The first one is going to be for Mr. Hennin. You did pick BYU to cover, so I'm going to ask you, Who do you think will have more total yards, quarterback Riley Nelson or quarterback James Lark? Remember, Lark came in for the final game of the regular season. I think he finishes with over 300 yards passing, a couple touchdowns. Riley Nelson, the starter for most of the year, still battling the rib injury. Some people expect to see both quarterbacks. Who do you think will be more productive?
I'm expecting Nelson to actually have a good game here. You know, it hasn't been a great senior season for Nelson by any stretch of the imagination. But this is still a guy who's got a ton of experience. He's been hampered with injuries that I think the layoff between the last game of the season and the bowls or, you know, give him a chance to heal a little bit. And Tom's right that San Diego State, you know, has been the hotter team down the stretch. But BYU has also been locked into this game for a long time. They're an independent. If they didn't make the BCS, this is where they were going. And I think they accepted the bid after, like, you know, week 9, week 10 or something. As soon as they got to 6 wins, they knew this is where they were going. So I don't think we've necessarily seen BYU have the pedal all the way down the last few weeks of the regular season. And I think that goes for Nelson, too. I think he's just been kind of trying to get through things. But now this is his last game. He's got to be a little bit healthier. I think he's actually going to have a good game.
And, Tom, for you, you picked San Diego State to cover, and as we said and as you admitted, BYU does have the best of the four units on the field. So San Diego State, total points, 20.5. Are you going over or under?
I'm going to go over. They've averaged 35 points a game this year, so even if BYU does a good job of slowing them down, I'm going to go over. They scored 21 points against Boise, which is not the same defense as BYU, but it's still pretty good. I mean, they've put 40 on Fresno State. They can put points up on the board. I'm going to go over because I think a lot of times with these layoffs, elite units like BYU's defense, they kind of lose a little bit of your edge when you're sitting around for 3 weeks. So I think that BYU's defense will have a little, be a little softer than we're used to seeing.
All right. So we got all our picks there going over 2.5. Good day for Riley Nelson. Looks like we got Jerry's taking BYU to cover. We got Tom taking San Diego State. That one will certainly go down in their rivalry when we're paying attention. Moving on to St. Petersburg. We got Ball State and Central Florida playing in the Trop. It's UCF tripped over themselves in the Conference USA title game, losing to Tulsa. Ball State, one of the many MAC teams to flood the postseason this year in a great year for the conference. The Knights are a 7.5-point favorite where we picked it. Starting out with you this time, Tom, what was your pick against the spread and why?
I took Ball State, and I wish I had, like, a really good reason for it, but I think what really made my decision for me was just Maction. But
yeah,
also the fact, like you said, UCF, and I watched that Conference USA title game, and it was a close game, but nobody really looked good in it, and UCF has they're a decent team, but I don't know that they're really all that good. And Ball State's been impressive. That they get lost in the shuffle between Kent State and Northern Illinois in the MAC, but Ball State had a really good season in the MAC too, and they have an offense that they scored 35 points a game, and yes, their defense leaves a lot to be desired, but I think at the very least, Ball State's offense is going to be able to hang with UCF's offense, so when I'm getting over a touchdown, I'm going to go that way.
Jerry?
I took Ball State as well, and this is a case where I think the Cardinals have a clear motivational edge. This is their first bowl game under Pete Lembo. It's their first one since Brady Hoke left four seasons ago now. They are going to be really fired up for this game. They got to travel a little bit for it, but, it's not like there's going to be a lot of pro-UCF atmosphere in the Trop regardless. So I'm not really worried about that. And I really like the Cardinal running game. Anyways, I sent a note to Matt Sussman of the MAC blog, the Hustle Belt, who I think we all follow on Twitter, and expressing some surprise that NIU had only had one offensive lineman chosen to be second-team All-MAC. And that was out of the three MAC offensive line teams, they had one representative. I'm like, well, what's going on? Like, NIU's clearly the league's best line, right? And he said, well, no, that's actually Ball State, which I thought was interesting. And the Cardinals, have the numbers to back it up. Their number one tailback, Juwan Edwards, ran for 1,300 yards, but he also averaged 6 yards a carry. you know, which to me is really impressive. So, you know, I think that can kind of be a foundation for Ball State to build on. You add that to the motivational edge, and I definitely think they cover the 7.5. And actually, I picked them to win outright. I think we see an upset.
All right, Jerry, I'm going to ask you here first. This is for both teams. This isn't quite a unique or an odd prop, and frankly, I was trying to come up with something good for this game. There wasn't anything online at any of the sports books. So first, over under 61.5. Where would you go on that one?
Oh man, you know, I'm going to say under just because this bowl, you know, the last couple of years, Louisville, Southern Miss 2 years ago, and then last year, there's a real clunker between FIU and some team I've already forgotten.
Rutgers, you know, I believe.
Was it Rutgers? Okay. You know, there just haven't been a whole lot of offensive fireworks in this game. You know, the Trop, I don't think is really the sort of atmosphere that lends itself towards excitement. You know, no offense to the good people of St. Petersburg, but there's no way to know exactly what's going to happen in these bowl games. The layoff, you get such huge variations in what we saw in the regular season. I'm going under, but I can't say I would have a real strong opinion one way or the other on that one.
All right, Tom, your prop is Central Florida turnovers over under 1.5.
I'm going over. I think this is in the bowl games, like I was saying, when there's the layoff, you know, teams lose their sharpness, and I think that leads to mistakes. So I would expect a couple of turnovers in this game from both teams. So I'll definitely take the over. And to continue what Jerry was saying about the Trop, that place is a terrible baseball stadium. It's even worse as a football stadium. It's just stagnant.
Yeah. No, I hear you there. All right, so both Tom and Jerry are taking Ball State. Jerry's got even the outright win, going under 61.5, and for Central Florida turnovers, over 1.5, with the additional prediction that both teams will be coughing the ball up just a little bit. We are moving on to the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl in the Superdome. Louisiana Lafayette making their second straight appearance after getting their first bowl win a year ago. And East Carolina getting a Conference USA bid down to the Big Easy. The way we picked it, the Raging Cajuns were 6.5-point favorites. Back to you, Jerry. What was your pick and why?
I am taking Louisiana Lafayette to win the game straight up, but I've got East Carolina covering the 6.5. I think this is a little bit of a widespread. East Carolina, you know, they didn't really blow anybody away this season. They didn't get any big wins, you know, were blown out by South Carolina, weren't particularly competitive with North Carolina in their attempts to play up, lost to Navy, you know, but they still finished 8-4. You don't go 8-4 without having some sort of measure of quality on your team. They have plenty of firepower. Lincoln Riley is still doing a very good job of coordinating that East Carolina offense. And Louisiana Lafayette, you know, no one's going to accuse basically any Sun Belt team of bringing a great defense out. I think the Raging Cajuns will win this game. They're very well coached by Mark Hudspeth. That offense, is definitely explosive. Terrence Broadway, you know, has done a fine job there at quarterback. But this, to me, reads like a field goal type game one way or the other. I think the Raging Cajuns playing so close to home, you know, this time I do think this is a setting that they're familiar with in the Superdome. They played this bowl last year. Obviously, they're not very far from New Orleans. They're in Lafayette. I think that setting will help the, you know, ULL just enough to pick up the win. But I do like ECU with the points.
Tom?
I took Louisiana to win and to cover the spread. It's not a whole lot of, you know, reasoning behind it, but like Jerry said, they've been to this game before, and it serves nearly as a home game. And East Carolina is 8-4, but when you look at the teams they've beaten this season, it's not exactly an impressive resume. And then getting blown out by Navy, it's just, I mean, I'm not trying to, not to knock Navy, because Navy's a good football team, particularly for what they do, but you shouldn't be getting doubled up by Navy and losing 56-28. It's just not a good thing good teams actually do. So I'm taking Louisiana Lafayette at quote-unquote home in this game to cover the spread, and I'm also wondering how long until this is just another Big East conference game.
Well, you hit, both each of you hit on some of my odd props here. So I'll start with you, Tom. How many times do you think the broadcasting team of Beth Mowins, Joey Galloway, and Quint Kesenich will mention home field advantage when talking about Louisiana Lafayette? I'm setting it at 4.5 references.
Oh, I'm going way over.
Over 4.5?
Seriously,
All right. From kickoff until final bell, we're talking like in action, not the cutaways. We're talking
way over. So you can set that thing at 10. I'll probably still go over. Joey Galloway's terrible. While we're on the subject of Beth Mo and this TV crew, I feel bad for Beth Mowins because she's actually quite good at what she does. But getting paired with Joey Galloway in that booth, she has to do so much of the work. And I wish they would give her somebody who can actually cover his own ass in the booth with her instead of making her everything. Because if you've ever watched Joey Galloway have to do an Ohio State game, it's terrible.
You just imagine that the broadcast game notes, you know, obviously Beth comes in here, she's got like everything highlighted, sticky notes, she's probably like, you know, really done her stand, she's a pro, got all of her professional set up, and you're suggesting that Galloway might just come in with like a map of Louisiana, maybe the distance drawn out, and that's about it.
I don't even think he brings the map. I mean, there are literally times where Mowins will say something or ask him a question, and she gets nothing but silence in return. It's like Galloway sitting there thinking about Eddie George or somebody. I don't. I feel bad for her. I have no problem with Quint Kesenich. I don't mean to involve him in that, but I'm not a big Joey Galloway fan. That's obvious.
Yeah, we learned that. All right, Jerry, your prop also similar. The Superdome actually got 42,841 people for this game last year, and certainly Lafayette's proximity to New Orleans helps this. Do you think that the novelty of after already being here this time means that that number will drop, or are you going over the 42,000 on this year's game?
This is tricky because San Diego State last year obviously wasn't going to send as many fans all the way across the country as I think East Carolina is going to do this year. This is East Carolina. I don't think they played in a bowl last year, if I remember correctly, so they've had at least a little bit of an absence. I think ECU's fans are, you know, I think pretty loyal. There's a surprising number of them, I think, out there. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if they bring a few. But I'm still going to go under. I think, you know, the main driving force here is going to be the ULL turnout. And it's probably not going to be quite as big as it was last year when basically they, came pretty close to winning the Sun Belt. It was their first bowl game, I believe, in their FBS history there under Mark Hudson. So obviously a much bigger deal than this year when they're kind of going back. And they haven't had quite as good a year this year as they did last year. Sort of the big game for them, I think, was maybe that UL Monroe upset that they had in the middle of the season. I think maybe some of the thrill is just ever so slightly gone. So I'm going to go under those 42,000 fans.
All right, moving it on from New Orleans to Las Vegas, the Mako Bowl right here in, I believe it's UNLV's stadium, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, we got Boise State and Washington. Boise State was a 5.5-point favorite the way we picked it. Beginning with you, Tom, what was your pick and why?
I took Washington to cover and win straight up. We said it, or I've said it so many times on this podcast all season long that I'm pretty sure most Boise State fans hate me by now, but Boise State's just not that good of a team. They're 10-2 and they're ranked 19th, but they shouldn't be ranked that high because who have they beaten? I mean, they beat BYU, which good, but that was a 7-6, one of the ugliest games you've ever wanted to see. And meanwhile, Washington, I feel like, is just a better team, and even though the record doesn't show it, but it's Washington also played a much tougher schedule, because if you look at their losses, they lost to LSU, Oregon, USC before USC was terrible, a.k.a. November, and Arizona, which has shown that it can, you know, jump up and beat some teams. And, yeah, the Washington State game loss at the end of the year was bad, but, you know, that's a rivalry game. That's the Apple Cup that's on the road. Crazy things like that will happen in those kind of games. But what they've also done is they beat Stanford and they beat Oregon State. Not many other teams can say they've done that this year. So I just think Washington's the better team. And for Boise, you know, when you've had the BCS success that you've had in recent years, I know it's a new team, but still going to Vegas for this bowl, which really isn't exactly a headlining bowl, I don't think, you know, there's going to be the same kind of motivation that they would normally find. And although Chris Peterson's a great coach, will have them ready, I just don't think Boise State has the talent that Washington has this year.
Jerry?
Well, I took Washington with the points, but I've got Boise straight up. I can't really argue with what Tom said about Washington being the better team. I think top to bottom, they're more talented. You know, they do have much more impressive wins. Yeah, I agree. If this game is being played in the middle of the season, if it's being played in Seattle, yeah, I've got Washington. But I took Boise straight up just because I think, again, they're the more motivated team. I think, you know, even though they've been to Las Vegas before, even though this isn't the kind of season that they've had the last few years, this is still a Pac-12 team that they're facing. And most of these players haven't played in these kinds of games as much as the last few classes of Broncos have. I think it still matters to a team like Boise to be able to go out and beat a team like Washington, no matter the setting, even if it is Las Vegas. And, you know, Boise didn't run away with the Mountain West title either. That was something that was shared. I just think, like, they probably feel like they've left a little something on the table and that Washington is, sort of going to be, the sort of cherry on the cake or whatever. Or the whole cake, basically. The cake is missing. They haven't built the cake yet. So, you know, I think that's just enough for me to expect the Broncos to pull it out. But, again, I think this is going to be a really close game. I think Washington has the better athletes, is the more experienced team. Sarkisian does have a very good record in bowl games. So I like the Huskies to cover, but I do think the Broncos just pull it out.
All right, first prop for you, Jerry. Bishop Sankey on the season rushed for 1,234 yards and 15 touchdowns on 4.8 yards per carry, while Boise State running back DJ Harper, nearly identical with 1,065 yards and 15 touchdowns as well, right at 5 yards per carry. Which of the two running backs has more yards in this game?
I'm going to go with Harper, actually. I like Sankey. He's clearly a very talented back, but Boise State's defense with a month to prepare is going to be a nasty, nasty piece of work. Again, they're missing some of the stars that have made it great the last couple of years, but they've got a lot of still really tough guys that have come in, have improved over the course of the season. And I think with this extra preparation for this bowl game, I think they're going to be ready to go. Washington also clearly has a very good defense, but they haven't been quite as good away from home as they have been. And I don't think they're going to have quite the same amount of motivation again as I think Boise has. So I'm going to go with Harper on that one, having the higher total.
All right, Tom, your prop for this game is Boise State will be staying at the Hard Rock Hotel while Washington is staying at Mandalay Bay. Which team is has a higher risk of missing curfew?
I'm going to go with Boise State, but it has nothing to do with the casinos that they're staying in. It's that Washington is located, you know, in Seattle, so there's actually things to do for those players, you know, in their free time. Their senses won't nearly be as stimulated as that as the team that lives in Boise, Idaho, year-round, being in Vegas. So they'll be less inclined to follow the bright, shiny lights. So I'm going to say Boise State.
Yeah, and if you think about sort of the way that everything's laid out, Mandalay Bay, really, that's probably why Washington goes to Mandalay Bay. It's a little bit more in the heart of everything. Boise State needs a little bit of space. You know, we'll just sort of kick them to the Hard Rock.
Yeah, but neither school's rich enough to go to the Bellagio route.
Oh, come on, man. That's SEC only. We know that. All right, moving on to the Sheridan Hawaii Bowl, held annually on Christmas Eve, but 3 p.m. in Hawaii time. And this year's matchup pits Fresno State against Southern Methodist. This will be the return of former Hawaii coach June Jones, who now leads the Mustangs. The way we picked it, Fresno State was an 11.5-point favorite. And so, let's see, let's begin with, Tom, what was your pick and why?
Yeah, I'm disappointed about this year's Hawaii Bowl matchup because the Hawaii Bowl has become somewhat of a Christmas Eve tradition at my sister's house where I spend with my family, with me and my brother-in-law watching it in the basement. And this year's matchup does not really give us something that seems all that interesting to me, as I'm taking Fresno State to win outright and cover that at 11.5-point spread, just for merely the simple reason that Fresno State is a pretty damn good team. And SMU is just a run-of-the-mill, ordinary Conference USA team, and we all know how bad Conference USA has been this year. So when I look at these teams and I can go up and down the line comparing them to each other, it's Fresno State, to me, has a clear advantage in just about every area. So I feel like this could be one of those blowouts.
Jerry?
Yeah, again, you know, I would like to take the underdog, especially with 11.5 points during bowl season, but I just don't see any reason to do it with SMU. It's been a really disappointing season for them, and you know, this is a pretty bad matchup here. Garrett Gilbert has been very sloppy with the ball all season, and Fresno ranks among the national leaders in takeaways. You know, let's see, I'm looking it up right here. Okay, 33 takeaways this season, including 20 by interception. Those are both top five nationally going against Garrett Gilbert. You know, this is not good for SMU. Now, you know, the Hawaii Bowl, I think, typically does not really see a high quality level of play after the, you know, players have been hanging out in Hawaii all week, which is not surprising. You know, the Pro Bowl is held there every year, and that's obviously not a real high level of play either, and those are the best football players on the planet. You know, so, you know, that sort of makes me want to maybe think about that SMU plus 11.5. You know, just assuming it's a sloppy game, it could wind up just being one of these kinds of, you know, maybe 27 to 17 point snoozers. But Fresno State's offense has just been too good for that. You know, Derek Carr, Robbie Rouse, those guys are fantastic. And SMU's defense is not going to be up to battling those guys even at half speed. I think this is a blowout. I think it's, we're looking at a 44 to 17 kind of game.
All right.
I think if there was, if you were going to write like a rules to gambling book, one of the very first rules you would put on the book is never bet on Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah, that's
right.
True. You you can actually put that on a stone and call it a commandment because you can't do that. All right, first prop for Jerry. Derek Carr this season completing 68% of his passes, over 3,700 yards, 36 touchdowns to only 5 interceptions. Yet, on the sneak, Hawaii with the number 14th ranked pass defense in the nation. So I'm going to ask you, Jerry, do you think Carr goes over or under 300 yards?
I'm going to say under. Again, I think it goes back to that sort of sloppiness factor. You know, bowl games, you know, to begin with, as we've said already a couple of times, don't really lend themselves to huge offensive, you know, breakouts unless you're talking about Washington and Baylor. You know, and then the Hawaii Bowl, I think that goes double. Last year it was Southern Miss and Nevada, who no one was going to mistake for a couple of defensive juggernauts, and that game finished 24-17. And if I remember correctly, needed a big special team score from Southern Miss near the end to reach that. So, you know, this is not the setting where I think you can expect offensive fireworks. I think Ralph gets it going on the ground, but I don't foresee a huge day for Derek Carr. Let's give him 275 and say under.
All right. And, Tom, total turnovers, both teams combined, 4.5.
I'm going to go over because, actually, you know, I'm going to break my own rule. I'm going to bet on Garrett Gilbert because I'm going to go over, like Jerry was saying. With Gilbert in this game and a Fresno State defense that turns the ball over quite a bit, and the fact that they flew over half the Pacific Ocean and hung out in Hawaii for a few days before this game starts. And plus, the Hawaii Bowl, like Jerry said, it's not only just poorly played for the most part, it's like a bad movie, B-movie, poorly played, where it's really good. That's one of the reasons it's become a Christmas tradition in the Fidelity family, because the game is generally ridiculously terrible, so we enjoy watching it. So, yeah, I'm going to go over.
All right, and now just bringing us home, the Little Caesars Bowl, Western Kentucky and Central Michigan. Western Kentucky, Western Kentucky. Unfortunately, you know, this is one of those. I didn't create a prop bet for it, but you know they'll just be on the broadcast probably talking about Petrino the entire time. But that doesn't affect the spread. What are your on-field picks? Jerry first. It was Central Michigan as a 5.5-point underdog. What was your pick and why?
Well, once again, you know, we've talked about this in past podcasts where we don't necessarily like to take an underdog of less than a touchdown with the points and then pick the other team to win straight up. But I did it with Washington and Boise. I did it with East Carolina and Louisiana Lafayette. And I'm going to do it again in this one. I think Western Kentucky is the better team. I think they pull it out. But I do think this game is going to be close. Western kind of faltered down the stretch a little bit. At the midpoint of the season, they'd beaten Kentucky. They had pounded Southern Miss, had beaten Arkansas State on the road, which now looks like their best win of the season. You know, and basically looked like they were on their way to a Sun Belt title. They lost to Louisiana Monroe in overtime, and then things kind of spiraled downward from there. Lost to Middle Tennessee, lost to Louisiana Lafayette with kind of a late game collapse. So, you know, Western's maybe not playing as well as they were earlier in the season. Now they've lost their coach. You know, if this was, again, a midseason game, Taggart was still there. It wasn't being played in Michigan. You know, I might be inclined to say, okay, Western Kentucky's going to win this by two touchdowns because Central is not a good team. They finished 6-6 in the MAC. We're blown out repeatedly. We mentioned Navy earlier. Navy beat Central, I think, even more convincingly than they did Eastern Carolina. You know, winning at Iowa was basically the high point of Central Michigan season, which, you know, okay. I just don't think Central has a whole lot of horses here. And I think Western Kentucky is very well coached, or at least they were under Taggart. They're going to be motivated. I think they win the game, but, you know, I think this is one case where the home field advantage really might play an edge. I think Central's going to have a lot more fans there. I think being able to play that close to Mount Pleasant is going to be a big positive for those guys. Both teams are going to be very motivated, haven't played in a bowl game in Western Kentucky ever for Central in quite some time. You know, so that's a wash. This just reads to me like another 3-4-point game. So I've got the Chips covering the 5.5.
Okay, Tom?
Congratulations on your great season. Now you get to spend your Christmas in Detroit. I agree with Jerry. Just about, we got the same picks. I'm taking Central Michigan to cover, but I have Western Kentucky to win. And the reason I'm taking Central Michigan to cover is because even though Western Kentucky is the better team, they really didn't play very well down the stretch. They lost 3 of their 4 games in November. They've lost 4 of their last 6. And Central Michigan's bad play was more towards the beginning of the year when they lost 4 in a row in September and October, but actually finished up winning 4 of their last 5. But just with the home field advantage of still being in Michigan and, you know, not really having to travel all that far, I think Central Michigan keeps it close. This is a game where, you know, and plus with Western Kentucky losing Taggart, I mean, it's really weird picking these games with schools that literally just lost their head coaches and, you know, the transition going on. And a lot of things that, you know, are just, you don't really know what's going to happen when there's the interim coach in charge. So because of that, even though I still think Western Kentucky pulls out the win just based on being a better team, I think it's going to be a close, low-scoring, rather boring game.
And that is exactly why we don't have any odd props for it, because I'm not going to demand anybody.
How many pizzas do you need to eat to get through this game?
Yeah, pizzas.
That's the over-under at 3.
Yeah, it ain't eating pizzas. That's for sure.
By pizza, I mean liters of whiskey.
My thanks to both Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hinnon. Be sure to follow them on Twitter at Tom Fornelli, at Jerry Hinnon. And be sure to follow the Eye on College Football blog. You'll be able to get all of these podcasts as well as all the fine work from us, as well as Matt Hinton and Chris Houston and a whole gang of extra contributors that we always be sure to inform you about. Remember, you can get all the Eye on College Football podcasts at iTunes by subscribing, and we'll deliver one as soon as the next one's available. For Tom Fornelli and Jerry Hinnon, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks for listening.